Yes, and amen. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus, amen, and look to Him. Look to Him. All right, we'll take a minute. We're going to pray, and we'll just pray for little Maddie Walker right now as they do this scan, that if there's anything there that needs to be seen, that it will be seen, and that we would praise the Lord and give Him glory. You know, that as the Bible says, that when we praise God, and that platform of praise is obedience, just obeying God, taking Him at His word, trusting Him, what happens is the Bible says that God silences or paralyzes the lies and renders the enemy powerless over our lives. When bad news comes, what do? We turn our eyes to Jesus. Amen. We look unto Jesus. So let's just take a minute and we'll pray, okay? Father, we come before You right now and we just want to lift up Maddie Walker to You. We're grateful and thankful for her, the life that You've given her, the family that You've provided her. Lord, the grace that You've extended to her through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that, Lord, You are more than able to sustain and help and work. We pray for the tools, the instruments that You've put before them today and that You put in the mind of people from years gone by to be able to develop things, to be able to see inside her skull and see her brain and see what's going on. And Lord, that You would allow them whatever's there. If there's anything there, we're praying that, Lord, there's nothing there. That her little body's just reacting to just the physical side of being somewhat dehydrated, whatever it may be. But if there is something that needs to be seen, that You will show it, and it will be manifested, and they'll know how to deal with it from there. But we're going to say, as we would say to anything, what shall we say to these things? If You are for us, what can be against us? We trust You and lean on You. Ask You to be with Boo and Brandon. We ask You to be with Greg and Janet and Carolyn and all of us as we pray that You'd give us wisdom so that when we do talk to You, when we do bring this to You, that we would pray according to Your will. And then we know that we have what we ask for. And we're just asking for You to do what You always do. And what do? You always win. There's not a battle that is fought that You don't win. So, Lord, we just, in faith, trust in You for the triumph, and we give You the glory for it all. If You loved us enough to die for us, we know what You'll do for us now that we are Your children, that we belong to You, and walking with You and talking with You and asking You to do this mighty work. So we submit her to You now and entrust her into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. The sweet, precious work of Jesus in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Look, won't you take the revelation that you have? If you don't happen to have one with you today, I'm sure we can find one in a pew nearby and get you a word. We're going to be in Thessalonians. We're going to look at Thessalonians, probably a couple different passages in it. I have something that I would like to just give away to you today that I've been highlighting as we're walking through it this time. We've been through Thessalonians, I think, about 9 or 10 times over the last 11, 12 years, and we've approached it from a couple of different angles and seeing what God has for us, what He spoke into this church there at Thessalonica. Some historical settings. You can read about this. I'm sure you've already turned there at some point in your reading. But in Acts chapter 17 gives us the historical landmark of when the church at Thessalonica was established. To read it, as Paul already highlighted in Thessalonians, when he referenced them coming from Philippi. So you would want to see what took place in Acts 16 in Philippi, because Paul even brings that out, that when he came to them at Thessalonica, they come to them with some burdens, with some afflictions, and how what manner of men they were when they were with them. So we're not going to go over there and look at Acts 16 and 17, But I would encourage you just to refresh yourself with it so you can get a picture of what Paul was doing and what he did. And then it would also give you some insight on the fact that Paul was not with this congregation for an extended period of time. Some of the churches that Paul was with and those that traveled with him, such as like Timothy or Barnabas or some of these other men like Silas, some of these that went with them, they would stay in some places longer. Well, in Thessalonica, you're going to find out that something took place and they had to leave the city. And when they left the city, there was something that took place that prevented Paul from going back to the city. So he eventually sends Timothy back to him. And this is the heart of where we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul reminds them, we sent Timothy to you to find out how your well-being was. Why? Because Paul was only with them for 3 Sabbaths. For 3 Sabbaths he was with them. So that's a matter of what? How long is that? 3 weeks? Yeah. 3 weeks worth of time. Well, that's not a long time. In comparison to some of these other places that he stayed and he invested and he taught and he shared. So here's this church that the scripture says in Acts 17 that how Paul, when he came to them, how he laid the scriptures out before them, how he testified to the Lord Jesus. And then he threw his life beside everything that he was teaching to show them, to demonstrate to them that, hey, this Jesus, whom God had foretold and who came, who gave his life, who shed his blood, who I set out to destroy and persecute, this Jesus transformed my life. And this Jesus changed me. And these are the truths that I've gleaned. And he threw his life beside all them things, all that he was teaching to demonstrate to them how this truth had transformed his life. And that's just the essence of anybody we walk with. We want to hear what God's done. We want to hear what he's doing in them. But then we want them to be able to cast their lives beside the truth that they're teaching to say, look, this is how this truth changed me. This is what this truth did to me. And so when we read 1 Thessalonians, including 2 Thessalonians, we got to read it in light of the fact that this message came to them and comes to us with a group of people that didn't have apostolic leadership surrounding them for months and months and years to teach them all these intricate details of the kingdom. But this church thrived in the midst of it all. Even being heavily persecuted, they thrived because of what God done in them. Amen. What God was doing with them and what God was doing through them. And what a difference that it makes. And what we see in Thessalonians is that we see the whole purpose of why Christ came to this world. We see the purpose of what he does when he comes inside of a person's life. And we get such great hope through the book of the promises that we have that Christ is coming back for us. Every single chapter in 1 Thessalonians deals with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every chapter talks about his coming. Every chapter talks about them waiting and him coming and not being misled by false teaching. Well, if he came, if he's coming, that meant he came. And if he came, he came for a purpose. And if he came for a purpose, this church at Thessalonica is seeing it manifested before him. So there's some great, wonderful truths that we can glean as instruments, tools, promises to share Jesus with people in the season we're in right now, right where we are. So I wanted, though, in this particular message, is to think about a word that he keeps highlighting as we go through it. There's several of them, but I'm just going to focus in on a word study within the book, within 1 Thessalonians, of the word comfort, of the word comfort. We're going to look at it. Now, how many of y'all like your comforts? Amen. We all like comforts, right? Don't we like coming in here on a kind of a humid, wet day outside? This place is dry. It's a little chilly. If you was to hang out in the elements for a little while, you'll probably get a little cold. It can get a little nippy on you. So we like coming in to a place that's sitting around 67, 68 degrees when the outside temperature is in the 40s or 50s. Boy, 67 feels pretty good, doesn't it? Amen. And we like coming in our comfortable pews. Some pews may be a little more comfortable than others. Some may be more wore out than others. But we like these little padded pews to be able to sit on. We like, how many of y'all like comfort foods? Y'all got a food that really, Brittany, what's your favorite comfort food? Chicken and dumplings. Tammy Hayden, what you like? You name it. Tammy's like me. People talk about comfort foods. I say, what you talking about? Comfort food? They all comfort to me. I like them all, right? And I couldn't tell you. I guess you could only say the difference between a comfort food and something else would be meat, real high fancy type food. Or, you know, that might be another story, but all I've ever eat was comfort food. And but that's why I'm in the condition I'm in. Are you with me? So we all have things that we like to be comfortable with. I had Nate with me this week, and we went out hunting a few times and had a grand time with him. Got to learn a few things, got to see some good deer and some turkeys, and it was just a good time to be able to spend with him. The weather was a little bit nippy. We went out yesterday morning. It was somewhere around 20, 27, 28 degrees. Had a good old hard frost on the ground, and I had him set up, but we got him comfortable now. He was fully layered, and he was good, and we got him on the stand, and he sat with me, and I asked him about 8 o'clock. I said, boy, you cold? And he said, Papa, I think my feet have frostbite. And I said, your feet don't have frostbite. They're all right under there. They covered up good. And I can remember when he was a kid and they was living in North Carolina and it would snow and we'd go out and play in the snow. They was all so worried about getting the black nose. The black nose meant frostbite on the nose, you know. And they were so warned about getting frostbite. Well, he was comfortable. He did get a little chilly here and there, but we managed it out. And first time he got to shoot at one of them deer, that warmed him right on up pretty quick. But we had a grand time. But we all like our comforts, whether it be music, food, the elements, the conditions of our home. Don't you like coming home, going to your home? There ain't nothing like.
Oh, amen.
Ain't nothing like coming to. I tell people all the time, ain't nothing like being in my home, being in my bed, and using my toilet. Are you with me? Look, that's comfort, right? It's to be straight up with you. You know what I'm talking about. So that's we all like our comforts. Now, we have an idea of what that is. Now, in the kingdom, there are comforts. There are comforts as well. And they don't translate exactly with the ideas of what we seek in comfort in this world that we live in the flesh that we live in. And what Paul does in 1 Thessalonians is he gives us several. I'm going to try to deal with it, and if we don't, we know the rule. What we'll do, we'll talk about it later on. But I'm going to give you seven things that he talks about in 1 Thessalonians that brings comfort to the brethren, to the kingdom-minded people. And we'll talk about that word that he uses for comfort, and sometimes that word means something a touch different in how he uses it. And sometimes he uses a word, it may not be comfort, but it may be the word exhort, or it may be the word beseech. And there's some words that will help us understand what he is speaking of so that we can, one, recognize how to be comforted within the kingdom, and that we can be comforters to the brethren within the kingdom. Not only do we want to be comforted, but we never want to make it about ourselves. That's the neat thing about kingdom comfort. It is never about us. It's always in regards to being a comfort to someone else, so that God is glorified and there's deliverance in the life of the brethren. Now, there are other passages of Scripture, other places in the Bible that we've covered on quite a few occasions. For an example, over in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians 4. A lot of these things, no doubt, parallel with some of the teaching that Paul has given us in Thessalonians. But I'm going to start in chapter number 2. Let's just start in chapter number 2 and look down, if you would. And I may not cover them all. I may not deal with each one, but we're going to deal with some thought process that we have. Now, I'm going to read verse number 11. Verse number 11. And then we'll backtrack and kind of walk through what we have here. Paul says, well, let's just read in verse number 10, and you'll see it in verse number 11. I'll read chapter 2, 10, 11, and 12, and then we'll go back to the front part of this chapter. He says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. That's always, I like that phrase, who believe. He brings that up a couple times, doesn't he, Brother Shannon? Amen. Who believe. You know, none of these things translate to anybody that don't believe. You have to believe for it to make sense to you. Amen. You have to believe for it to be applied to you. You have to believe for it to be able to see it and recognize it. But he says that, among you who believe. Verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, so that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now, let me backtrack a minute and go look in verse number 1 of chapter 2, and let's just read up to this point, and then we'll try to drive this point home. Paul says in verse number 1 of chapter number 2 of 1 Thessalonians, for you yourselves know, brethren. That's a sweet word, isn't it? Brethren. And when he talks about the brethren, he's just not talking about the men. He's talking about who? Everybody. The body, the brethren, the family. For you yourselves know, O family of God, the brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. It wasn't empty. Wasn't aimless. But even after we suffered before and were spitefully treated, where? At Philippi, that's where you go back to Acts 16 and see what he's referencing there. As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. When everything was against us for preaching it, we preached it. When it was in season or out of season. When it was wanted and unwanted. When it was accepted or rejected. When it was rejoiced over or it was resented. We came preaching the gospel in much conflict. Verse number 3. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so, we came speaking to you not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words. He said, we didn't come to butter you up. Flattering words to butter you up, to make you think any better yourself, to try to use trickery and to gain something from it. We didn't come to bewitch you. We didn't come to bargain with you. We didn't come to butter you up. As you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. That is basically saying we didn't bait you in. We didn't try to butter you up. And we didn't try to bait you in to get something out of you. Paul is saying, we didn't come to get from you. We came to give you something. Amen. We didn't come to gain something from you. We came to plant something in you. We came to give you Jesus. And we did it without error, without any uncleanness, without any deceit. Verse 6, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. Anybody that's seeking glory from men don't have glory to give away.
Come on.
Amen. When people are seeking to receive praise from men, they don't have anything worthy to praise to give away.
Amen.
So he said, we had everything in the world to give away to you, not expecting anything in return from you. We came to do something, God, see God do something in you, when we might have demanded as apostles of Christ. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you as a nurse and mother cherishes her own children. You know how mamas cherish their own little ones, huh?
Come on,
mamas, you know what I'm talking about. You just have this tender affection for them, these tender mercies for them, these kind affections where you want to nurture them, protect them, provide for them, meet their needs, feed them. You want them to, you want to fill their bellies up with those comfort foods you like. Are you with me? We just do, just like popsicles or whatever it may be. You want to put food in them. You're concerned about them. They need to eat, and you don't want them to get dehydrated because they won't eat. So you're gentle with them. Mamas are gentle. Old daddy a Gerber slap you, but mamas are gentle with you, huh? Daddy's going to be a little rough around the edge, but mama is tender, soft. I love that Psalm 131, where David says, I got up in the Lord's lap like a weaned child gets up in the lap of his mama. He don't get up in the lap of his mama to be fed. He gets up in for her comfort, that she can take care of things. She can see things. She can do things he can't do for himself. And that all's right when under the wings of mama. Are you with me? So Paul said, we dealt with you from that perspective. Verse 8, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but we were willing to give our own lives because you had become dear to us. Verse 9, for you remember, brethren, that our labor and our toil, for laboring night and day, working with our hands, that we might not be a burden to any of you, for we preach to you the gospel of God. Now, that's back where we are in verse 10. You are witnesses. You've seen this. You have the evidence, and God also, how we behaved among you. Verse 11, as you know how we what? Exhorted you and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. So he shows these parental pictures here, a mother and a father. How the tender gentleness of a mother and the instruction or the toughness of a father. So comfort in the kingdom, number one, comes through tender and tough instruction. Tender and tough instruction. Paul uses the word, we exhorted you. That word means to invite, Brother Shannon, to invite you alongside us. A father who would say, come here, boy, I want to show you something. And he brings him and invites him near. This past week with Nathaniel, I'm teaching him to be a woodsman, to respect the creation that God has given us, delight in the fact that he allows us to be able to hunt and harvest and be able to eat what we take, what we kill. And just learning the woods, learning how to listen to the birds and learning how to listen to the squirrels, how they are, let you know when something's coming and that you can pay attention when you hear those squirrels start barking, that there's something moving through there that we can't see. And then sure enough, there's old deer that'll step out into that lane about 120 yards, a little bit out of distance for them, but we could hear those squirrels cutting up. So I had him beside me. I invited him to come and spend a couple of days with me to go hunting. And that's the idea of this exhortation, this comfort that Paul refers to is this invitation to come beside him as a father, him as a dad who's going to give some instruction, this invitation to come be with me, to walk with me, to live with me. And see. And that's what we did this past week. We found scrapes on the ground where them old bucks had been scraping and breaking off the limbs. Every time we would come to a scrape and he would see that, he'd say, Papa, here's another one. He was starting to look up for the limb. where it had been raking its horns, and in some bigger scrapes, some smaller, some limbs higher, some limbs broke off, but he started picking up on all that. And then we go a little bit further, and we ride down to Mr. Bud's and walk through it, and we started seeing, he said, "What is this, Paw-Paw? That's where hogs have been rooting through there." And then we started seeing all the hog sign where they've been tearing up the ground and rooting. So we got to talk about when you do eat swine, you do eat a hog, why it's important to make sure your hog's clean and your meat's clean and you cook it well, because them old hogs are bottom feeders and they wallow through all that mud and get all their grub and whatever they're going to eat. So he walked alongside me the whole time. I taught him about the number one rule is that we thank God for what he's given us and the privileges and the honor he's given us, and we pray and we seek him, and that we want to enjoy ourselves, and we want to be safe, and that gun was made for one purpose, and that purpose is to kill whatever it's aimed at, and that we have to respect the life that is in these animals, just like the light that is in us. So we talked about all that. But for that to happen, I could have talked to him on the phone about it, but I invited him to come with me.
Amen.
That's the idea of exhorting, to comfort, to invite. The next word he uses is the actual word that we see comforted. But that word means exactly what I've been describing, and that is instruction. That is to call alongside, to speak. Not only do you invite one, sometimes you invite people, Brother Shannon, to come alongside and you don't say anything. Yeah. You just love on them. You let them know you're with them.
Yeah.
And then there's times when you invite someone to come alongside because you're having some instruction for them.
Yeah.
You have some instruction that you're going to explain some things. That's that idea of speaking into the one that is next to you. And then he uses the word charge. The word charge is the idea of giving them insight and example to see, to show them. Paul's saying that's what a good father does. A father invites his son, his daughter, to come near him. He instructs them in the ways of life. And then he gives them insight by showing them how to do it, how to walk in it. And he said, like a father, I invited you to come walk with us. I instructed you in the ways of the Lord, both tenderly and tough. And then I gave you an example how to follow and how to walk in it. I gave you the insight, the wisdom, how to take that instruction and apply it in life. And that's that insight, that wisdom that God gives, and that he uses people to give it away through. So the first aspect we see in this book of Paul speaking of comforting the brethren is through tender and tough instruction.
Amen.
An invitation, the instruction that comes with that, and the insight that you impart to those that you're walking with. Nate got to learn from his own experiences of how important it is when you put the bead on whatever you're shooting, that you got to be steady. You got to be able to squeeze the trigger. And just like shooting anything, you follow through with your shot. And so we learned that by experience, by practical experience, not just things we talked about, but we put it to work. You've heard me say this before. You can read books about swimming, but you don't swim until you get in the water. You can watch other people swim, but you don't swim until you get in the water. You can go fishing with people, but you're not fishing until you're fishing. We can talk about fishing. You can go out in the yard and cast you a bait and practice fishing, but you ain't fishing until you're fishing. Are you with me? And the same thing when it comes in life about being a fisher of men. We can talk about fishing for men, but you're not fishing for men until you're in the place and with the people that God sends you to fish for men. Are you with me? You got to be able to be where God wants you to be. And that's where that practical instruction of that comfort comes, in those tender and tough instructions. Let's look at the The second one, I'll give it to you up front. Trustworthy fellowship in the gospel and the glories that would follow. Trustworthy fellowship in the gospel and the glories that will follow. That's how comfort comes in the kingdom. We're talking about instruction that is both tender like a mother and tough like a father who shows by example, who leads by example, who trains a child in the way that he should go, who exemplifies what to be done. Chapter number 3, look what Paul says. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, that is, he's explained to them, he wanted to know about their condition. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it would be good that we stay in Athens alone and sent who? Timothy, our brother and servant, minister of God, and he's our co-laborer, fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Here it is. This is the idea of encourage. The word encourage is the word comfort, to exhort you, to encourage and establish you in the faith. So Paul was saying, we was concerned about where you was at in life, if you had been swayed by the enemy. So we knew how to provide comfort for you was to send a trustworthy servant, fellowship, in the gospel and the glories that would follow after that. What are some of the glories that would follow? Notice what he says in verse number 3. When he sent Timothy to establish them by the word and in the word, that no one should be shaken by these troubles that you're going through. For you yourselves know that you are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know of your faith, for fear by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. So Paul said, I sent Timothy to establish and comfort you, to invite you to come alongside and to remind you that our life depends on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine, trustworthy fellowship with the brethren in the gospel, and then the teachings of the glories that would follow. What does that mean? When you walk with Jesus, you can anticipate suffering for Jesus.
Amen.
That's a comfort. You see, if you don't know that, when you get persecuted, you begin to question, why is this happening? And when you're doubting and questioning why things are happening, that's no comfort whatsoever. But when you know that God has ordained certain things with the brethren, Miss Barbara, that brings comfort to me, knowing that, as Peter would say, that the gospel has been proclaimed, was coming, and there would be glories that would follow that. Well, part of the glories that follow is the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, and those sufferings being taken on by us in the body of Christ, that as we manifest the glory of God, the face of God on this earth, we're doing it in the midst of darkness. We're going to dark places in a dark world who don't want anything to do with this. They're going to lash out, and when they do, I don't have to be surprised by it. Why? I've already been instructed by God that the gospel brings this with it, that I'm willing to die for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And you see, Paul sent Timothy and this trustworthy servant in his fellowship to provide comfort. So for us in the kingdom, comfort is going to come through instruction, an invitation to be with God's people, and that insight that we glean by watching our brethren walk through this life to the glory of God. Amen. And while they go through the trouble, we're watching them suffer for the glory of God. That's where the third thing comes in. Testimonies of enduring joy and triumph. This is where comfort in the kingdom comes from. We see this. Testimonies of enduring joy and triumph. Notice what verse 6 says. And we'll come back later and finish up the rest of them. Verse 6 says, but now that Timothy, since he's come to us from you, and Timothy's brought good news of your faith and your love, and that you really desire and have a good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, and we also you. Verse 7, therefore, brethren, in all our troubles that we were going through and the distress that we were in, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, seeing that you stand fast, what? In the Lord. You hear that? Paul said, we've been comforted because we heard of your testimony and your joy and triumph in the work of the kingdom. Amen. We know what you've been through. We've known what you've gone through. And in a lot of cases, the Apostle Paul, people will initially respond great to him, but when they got in trouble for being connected with him, they would want to abandon him and don't want to mention his name, wouldn't want anybody, didn't want to associate with him anymore because of all the conflict and the problems that came with it. But Timothy come back and said, this church at Thessalonica had a glorious remembrance of us, and they wanted us to come back. They wanted to see us again. They wasn't offended by us. They wasn't ashamed of us, and they wasn't ashamed of the gospel that we preach. And they have endured through the hardships of life that they were going through. And when we got word of that and the troubles we were in, it brought great comfort to us. And we found life in our troubles by hearing about life in your trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all heard me say that phrase before? When we've gone through these things and we've looked over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I call it the cycle of life in the kingdom. That 2 Corinthians 4 says this, that we, as the disciples of the Lord, are always delivered unto death, that the life of Jesus can be manifested out of our mortal flesh. And Paul says, death was working in us, but it was producing life in you.
Amen.
Now Paul reverses it. Death was working in y'all at Thessalonica, but that death working in y'all was producing what? Life in us in our affliction and trouble. You see, that is part of the comforts of the kingdom, is that testimonies of enduring joy and triumph in the midst of the hardships, in the midst of the trouble. You know what we're seeing? We're seeing God do what God said he was going to do. And that is that God was going to deliver his people over consistently to death to get the life of Jesus out of them. So when you are going through the hardships and you're handling it God's way, doing it for the glory of God, you know what that's doing? Even though you're being delivered to death, even though it's difficult and a challenge to you, when we see you going through the things God's way for God's glory, those comforts that come to you, in the midst of that, you know what that does? That translates life to us.
Amen.
And we can't help but praise God. And when we're going through our troubles, that helps comfort and sustain and strengthen us when you're going through your trial for the glory of God. And you can't help but praise him. Amen.
Amen.
Paul says, we now live seeing that you stand fast in the faith. Not that Paul didn't have life. He had life. Not that Paul needed life. He had life. He possessed life in Christ. But he's saying, hearing of your testimony of joy and triumph in your trouble did something in us. It revived us. It gave us great delight and joy. It comforted us in our troubles and our trouble. Everybody likes good testimony. Amen?
Amen.
A good testimony of God's unwavering faithfulness in the midst of the trial. Remember what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says? That if we are afflicted or we're comforted, it's for the purpose of comforting and seeing others delivered in their trouble that they're going through.
Oh.
It's a cycle. It's the cycle of life in the kingdom. And it's just a means by which God uses to comfort us in the kingdom, to invite us to come alongside him.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God. He comforts us through testimonies of joy and triumph in the midst of the hardship.
Amen.
Now, just the opposite happens, though. When you see the brethren go through stuff and they turn to everything but Jesus, when they turn to the bottle, for an example. They start drinking because of the troubles that they're in. Or they turn to this, or they turn to that. They turn to these other outlets out there that comforts their flesh, but doesn't really deal with the issues that they're going through. It just pacifies it for a little bit. What does that do to us? That grieves us. That grieves us. It doesn't transfer life to us. What does it do? It grieves us. You ever been grieved? Why does it grieve us? Because it grieves God. Amen. And if it grieves God, if it grieves the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to grieve God in us. Are you with me?
Yes.
So when we see people in the daily journey, now we don't cast them off. What do? Scripture is going to give us some other insight on that. He's going to have an answer for that issue there. We don't write them off. No, we do our best to become a comfort to them.
Amen.
We come alongside them. And he's going to tell us how to do that. In Thessalonians, we're going to see that tonight when we come back. We'll see how we journey through this and how really we get to a point where he keeps telling us that our love for one another needs to what? Grow more and more. Keep abounding. Amen. Keep abounding and growing more and more. But if there is any comfort in God, and I want to tell you, he's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. And his comforts come from both tender and tough instruction.
Amen.
Insight. Invites to walk with him and his people. Come from testimonies. They come from these things that help us in our daily walk. Yeah, food will make us comfortable for a little while until the next meal, right? We're comfortable as long as we're in here, but we're fixing to walk outside. And we'll walk outside, that vehicle you're about to get in is going to be a little nippy. Tammy Hayden's going to get in it. She's going to crank it up, and she's got that heat already set from when she left the house this morning. What's that? Oh, she's going to have that button heat them seats up. She wants to be cozy and comfortable. How many of y'all got a blanket you like wrapping up with at the house? Oh, Stephanie's been playing on the dish. Channel 304's got a fire. We don't have a fireplace over there, so every morning she turns on 304 to the... Yeah, just has the fire. 304. She turns it on, and you can hear that. You can hear those logs popping. And it's comforting.
It is.
She says, I already feel warmer.
Oh, it's good to do
nesting
by.
It sure is. That's what we do in the morning. Yeah, it is. It is. The old sweet comfort. We like our comforts. But those kind of comforts don't help us in the kingdom. God's got a different kind of way that he comforts us in this life as we walk with him. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll keep drawing near to him and seeing what he has in Thessalonians for us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank you today. We bless you for your kindness and your goodness. We just ask now that you help us as we depart from here today, that you'll just keep speaking to us, that you'd be with our church family, heal them, touch them, keep us safe, keep us whole. And Lord, we just thank you right now for your goodness. And we're going to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.